that much. Amen? But you show God something this morning. Your faithfulness, your tenacity, your refusal to listen to the devil, to listen to the flesh. Amen? And if I had a title, and I do have a title for the message this morning, and it's When a Little Becomes a Lot. Can you say when a little becomes a lot? Sometimes in this life, it seems like we have a lot of highs and we have a lot of lows. We have valleys and mountains, and sometimes it seems like we just can't go one step further. Amen? Job said, "What I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me." Have you ever feared something? You anticipate something happening, and then all of a sudden it happened to you? Job said, "What I feared would happen to me. It has come upon me. I dread what has happened to me." All of us have obstacles in our life, and you can put whatever name you want to that obstacle. And when we look at that obstacle, it looks overwhelming. When this happens, a lot of times we have that feeling inside that we just want to quit. I want you to know this morning, when you quit, you give up on the Lord. When you quit, whatever obstacle you have in front of you, when you quit, you give up on the Lord. We forget who our God is. If you don't know who he is, this morning I want to tell you that he is the creator. He is the master of the sea. He is the lily of the valley. He is the bright and morning star. He is the one who was, who is, and who is to come. He is still God, and we need to remember this morning. If you don't remember anything that I say this morning, remember he is God. Amen? In the 6th chapter of John, the record says that a great multitude followed Jesus because they saw his miracles. Now, this is not surprising at all, because people have always been moved by miracles. And when you're frustrated at something, when you have disappointments and obstacles in your life, you feel a sense of, let me go where that miracle man is. Amen? So frustrated people are more expectant of miracles. Amen? If you have this sense of security that everything is all right, you really don't expect the miracle. As a matter of fact, you're not even looking for it. But when things get bad, you're looking for a miracle. Can I get an amen? This multitude followed him in abandonment because they were captured by his miraculous powers. So when we come to John, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 13, it says, "Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said, 'Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?' He asked this only to test him, for he had already had in his mind what he was going to do." I think I need to read that again. "When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd following towards him, coming towards him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?' He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him it would take more than a half year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. He didn't say for each one to have a meal. He said for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish. But how far will they go among so many? Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves and gave thanks and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the five barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. When you look at the picture that is painted in these scriptures, it is a scene that is impossible as a human to be able to conceive. How can we five pieces of bread and two fish to feed the 5,000 men, the 5,000 wives, the thousands of kids that were there? But to God, it's just an opportunity to display his awesome power. It was an opportunity for him to showcase his ability to overcome any and all situations without exception. I want you to think about whatever your obstacle is this morning, because in this scripture it says it was an opportunity for him to showcase his ability to overcome any and all situations without exception. I want you to look at the burden that you carry this morning, whether it's personal, whether it's work, church, or related to somebody else. I want you to look at this burden this morning and then look at the greatness and the power of your God. I don't know about your God, but I know about my God. Amen? By the time this is over, if your God can't do what my God can do, then maybe you'll come and have my God, because he'll welcome you this morning. And finally, realize that Jesus can handle this. When you understand the power of God, know that Jesus can handle this. And when this message is over, if you can't wait that long, I want you to bring that burden right here to the altar and lay it on the Lord's shoulder and leave it there. Amen? I want you to notice what happened when a little becomes a lot. Verse 3 states that then Jesus went up to the mountainside and sat down with his disciples. So Jesus went up to the mountain and sat with his disciples. Jesus is the only leader I can think about right now that when you got multitudes and multitudes and multitudes of people, thousands of people enthusiastic about you being there, that he don't want to be there. He just want to go sit in the mountainside with his disciples. He want to leave all the people that are praising him and adoring him, and he just want to go sit with his disciples. Amen? Jesus knew that in all the people that sitting there, there were uncommitted multitudes. They could not make any contributions to the kingdom of heaven. Amen? So the situation was overwhelming. Even overwhelming for Jesus to sit amongst so many people while he was deciding what he was going to do. Sometimes we need to take a page out of Jesus' book. We sit around too many people that don't have the right kind of attitudes and prayer lives and understanding of who he is when something has to be figured out. when something has to be done, when you need a situation to be handled. We sit around too many multitudes. Amen? Jesus, when he saw the crowd coming towards him, he turned to Philip and he said, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" The question Jesus was really asking Philip, how are we going to handle this? Have you ever been in a situation that looks so overwhelming and the person in charge, or who's supposed to be in charge, turns to you and says, how are we going to handle this? They already threw you in the midst of leadership, already threw you in the midst of disciple making, already decision making, already threw you in the midst of maybe taking the blame for something that might not work in our eyes, our fleshly eyes. Amen? But Jesus already knew the circumstances. Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good." I say that because whatever your obstacle is this morning, Jesus already knows what it is that you're facing. In verse 6, it turns around, and the Bible says it. If you read it, it's, he said, he asked this only to test him. How many times have you been in a situation and you're looking for the Lord, and you're in a situation and he puts you in there to test you? If you believe that God will never leave you nor forsake you, and you get in a situation and you start questioning God, or you start turning to your flesh to get the answer, how do you not know that God did not put you in that situation to test you? The Bible here plainly states that he knew the answer, but he asked the question of his disciple. Some of us are disciples. That doesn't mean he won't test you. Amen? It further states, for he already had in his mind what he was going to do. He knew how he was going to handle that situation before it even materialized. God already had the answer to the question in hand before the question is asked. He is always ahead of the game. You see, with all of that multitude around his disciples, he probably wouldn't have a chance to get to his disciples to ask the question, to find out what they were thinking. Amen? So he took them up to the mountainside so he could find out where their heads were, where their mindset were. They had been with Jesus, but where was their mindset? This looks impossible, but you've seen me do things before. What do you think? All of God's people were supposed to live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4 says, "See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous person will live by his faithfulness." You see, when you're going through these situations, these obstacles, the enemy's a big, bad man. Amen? If you look at him, be a little overwhelming when you look at through these fleshly eyes. But the Bible says the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God." Philip answered him and said, "It would take more than a half a year's wage to buy enough for everybody to have a bite." Now, I can tell you about this Philip. If he was sitting in the crowd and all of them people wanted something to eat, I would probably be like that Philip and say, "Man, that'd take half of my salary. a whole year's salary to give these people a little something. Amen? Jesus, what are you thinking about feeding these people? But that was a response of the flesh. Andrew's response was similar. It centered around what could not be done. You see, one response, it was going to take a lot of money. The other one said, that can't be done. These are Jesus' disciples. Have you ever done something, somebody says, well, you know, that can't be done. It's impossible to do. It can't be done. And somebody else is saying, oh, it's going to take too much money. We ain't got that kind of money. Jesus don't ask you how much money you got. Have you ever had a prayer and you heard Jesus' voice say, how much you got? I bet you one thing, if you go to them soothsayers and you want something done and you tell them, I want a promotion on my job, they're going to tell you how much it costs you. Jesus never asks you how much you got. This question was from Jesus. I always talk about questions because questions, I love questions. Questions are, it's not, the answer's not important. It's always the question because the question can answer itself a lot of times. Amen? The four responses that are common to the question that Jesus asks is, and we do this, let's get rid of the problem. You see, somebody else was thinking up there probably saying, well, let's tell these people to go away. Somebody else was saying, well, we can't do this till we raise some more money. Sound like things that we go through in church, amen? Somebody else said, some other disciple was thinking, we have a little bit, but it ain't going to never be enough to feed all of these people, amen? And somebody else is going to walk away and say, well, let Jesus do it. Amen? Sometimes in churches sound like this, well, let the pastor handle it. Just let him do what he's going to do. Leave it to him. But don't listen to anything that the flesh has to say about any situation, because the flesh lies. If you are in it, God has you there for a purpose. Whatever the obstacle is, if you're in it, God has you there for a purpose. If you believe Romans 8 and 28, where it says, all things work together for the good of those who and are called according to. So if you're in a situation, God has you in there for a purpose. What purpose it is, more will be revealed later. You might not know it while you're going through it. But God has you in there for a purpose. God's way to handle the impossible is found in Philippians 4, 6 to 7, where it says, be careful for nothing, amen, everything in prayer and supplication. And when God tells you to do that, God isn't looking for excuses. I need to say that again. When God puts you in a situation and you realize that nothing that God gives you to do is impossible, God is not looking for excuses. He isn't looking for self-doubts. He's not looking for question marks. He's looking for faith. God is not looking for excuses. He isn't looking for doubt. He's not looking for question marks. He's looking for faith. When Jesus asked the question, Philip, how are we going to handle this? God wasn't looking for an excuse. He wasn't looking for doubt. He wasn't looking for question marks. He was looking for faith. The road that the disciples took with Jesus along the way was to increase their faith. He knew that the people he called his disciples still had a lack of faith. Somebody looked and said the supplies were insufficient. Peter was always the one that spoke up. Amen? When you go throughout the Gospels, Peter is always speaking up to Jesus because everybody else seemed like they don't want to talk. They don't want to stick up for themselves. So Peter is the one always sticking up. But in this case, his brother Andrew decided to stick up. Amen? He is a boy with something. He's got a little bit. It could have been facetious. Well, here's a little boy. He's got a little bit of bread. He got a little bit of fish. But how many is that going to feed? It might feed you, Jesus. It might feed me. But how far is it really going to go? I mean, look at it. How far is it really going to go? You see, Andrew had a little bit of his brother in him. Amen? Andrew took a little bit out of Peter's page and said something. Andrew's blood was thicker than mud. You see, Andrew still had that family thing going on. Amen? Do you believe that sometimes we have family things going on when Jesus says for us to do something? Instead of us listening to him, we got family thing going on. Amen? But when they ask Jesus, your brother, your mother want to see you, he said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Amen? He was telling them, those that love the Lord, those that love me, those that follow me, all my brothers and sisters. In church, sometimes there's going to be disagreements. There's going to be different points of views, different things going on. And if you love the Lord, when you pray and you seek the Lord's face, he will give you answers. He will tell you what you should be doing through the Holy Spirit. And sometimes your brother, your natural fleshly brother, is on this side and your sister is on that side and they want you to choose a side. The only side we need to choose is Jesus' side. God is able to use little things. Amen? He's not worried about the size of the gift. Amen? When we have the children come up and they sing or they do a play, we're blessed by the things that they do. God is able to use the little things. It was a baby's cry to Abraham to let him know that he had a kid. It was a stick that Moses used to part the Red Sea. It was a stone, a little stone that David used, the stone and the slate and the sling, to remove a giant. It was a piece of cloth at Jordan. It was a starving widow to speak to Elisha. It was manna, a little manna that he gave every day for people, to 2 million people, to make it through to the promised land. You see, your ability or your resources may be small, but God is still God, and he can use anything. Don't think that your little bit is not a lot to God. Amen? Sometimes we feel that we can't contribute because we only got a little bit. God knows what it is that you got. Amen? Verse 10 says, Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. You see, Jesus said, have the people sit down. Plenty of room for the people to sit down in that place. And they sat down. Verse 11 says, Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. The scripture says Jesus told them to have them sit down. I'm a firm believer in what I know about the human experience. That when you tell people to sit down in a crowd. People don't want to sit down. Many do, but some don't. Some are going to stand because they want to see what's going to happen. Amen? But the Bible says Jesus told them to sit down. But it also says he blessed the food and he fed the ones that were seated and gave them as much as they could eat, as much as they wanted. You see, obedience. When he says sit down, sit down. If they were standing up, the Bible don't have to say no more. They didn't get nothing. When they sat down, they got exactly all that they wanted. Sometimes Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God will speak to us and tell us to do something and be obedient. Just sit down and wait a little while. But we don't want to sit down and wait. We want to take things into our own hands. It was just a small gesture just to sit down. But sitting down, they got fed all that they wanted. This, often the resources that we have, he multiplies them in great ways. The Bible says that Jesus, he took. It wasn't too small for Jesus. Have somebody ever gave you something and you looked at it and it was too small for you? And you said, what am I going to do? What are you giving me this for? What am I supposed to do with that? Jesus don't care how small it is, what it is that you give. You take it. You took. The Bible said, you took. And then you left.
And bless Ananias and Sapphira. He told them to sell, they were selling their homes, selling all that they had. But they didn't give all. They hid some for themselves. Oh, hallelujah. How many times we keep a little bit for ourselves that they'll never know. Never know whether I gave 100 or whether I gave 10. He knows. He took what they had. The Bible says he is the giver. He gave all that he had. This is all God asks for any of us. Give him all, whether it be great or small, so he can use it for his glory. It's not the size of the gift. It's the size of the heart that gives it. Amen? If no one gives God nothing to work with, can you imagine if none of us nowhere over this whole entire earth gave God nothing to work with, he still don't need it. He don't need it. But you know what he does? He allows us to be involved, to get involved. Amen? God can do miracles whatever he wants to.
God can do whatever he wants to, but he allows us to get involved. Whatever your situation is this morning, stop holding on to it. You know, we like to hold on to things like a badge of honor. You ever see people with a badge of honor? They just got to let you know how hard their life is, how hard the things it is that they're doing. Amen? Instead of letting God bless them. Oh, this is so hard. And I want you to know, I believe that God is going to change this. But you got to know how hard this is. God already knows. He set you for that situation. That's like the Pharisees. You got to stand on the corner and let everybody know how hard this is. I don't know why he gave me this cross to bear. But he already knows. He knew you could carry it. That's why he gave it to you. If you stop holding on to your own cross, let me say that again. I said if you stop holding on to your own cross and give it to the one that died on the cross, all of the stuff that you're going through, you'll realize that you're never alone. And God will amaze you. But we always have that stain of doubt. We good Christians. Good Christians. But we walk around with this stain on our Christianity. A little stain that's right there. It's the stain of doubt. You see, because we love the Lord, we sing his praises, and everything is fine. Hunky-dory when everything is great. But when something happened, this all of a sudden the stain shows up on your shirt. Nobody else might not see that stain, but you know it's there. Amen? Have you ever had a stain on something and somebody says, oh, you look real nice? And you say, yeah, but in your mind, you know the stain is there. So you can sit up here, we can sit up here, we can pray with you, for you, but you got that. We don't know it. You walk out of here shouting hallelujah, jumping up and down, running around the church, doing cartwheels, but when you get outside that door and you go home and you're by yourself, you forgot about the Jesus that you were praying because you got that of doubt. When we have a stain of doubt, we forget his promises. Amen? His promises, Old Testament promises, New Testament promises. Old Testament, Deuteronomy 31 and 6. It says, be strong and courageous. You need to say this with me. Say, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's Old Testament. In the Old Testament, he was saying to the people, he'd never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13 and 5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. I wonder why they had to put money in there. I wonder why they had to put money in there. I wonder. Not really, but I wonder why they had to put money in there. It doesn't say money's bad. It said the love of money. It doesn't say that you're going to be content with money. It says you be content with what you have. Have you ever seen somebody who have a whole lot and is never content? I know a lot of people who have a whole lot but is never content. Because their love is for money and their love is for getting more things. the love is not for the Lord. Amen? A lot of rich people are miserable. They're miserable. And you want to know something? Their kids are miserable too. And you know something? Their grandkids are miserable too. And their kids 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 are going to be miserable too. Until they put God and the love of the Lord in the equation. Let me tell you what happened in this story. The surplus was abundant. Jesus wasn't disturbed by the circumstances. The faltering was sanctified. Those who he used, the doubters, to feed the food. Ain't that something? The disciples doubted that he was able to do it, but he took them. I'm going to talk about this Jesus that we have. He took them and he made them go feed them. Jesus uses the doubters to feed the multitudes. Don't you know that as they kept going through every 10, 50, 100, 1,000 people, they were probably wondering, where is this food coming from? We started with 5 loaves and 2 fish. But Jesus says, because of your unbelief, you get out there and feed them. And I'm going to stand here and watch you. And as he's watching them, he's blessing those baskets. Blessing those baskets. More and more fish. More and more bread is in there. He's blessing those baskets. And those doubters, those disciples, had to walk around. Oh, hallelujah. Had to walk around and feed them. Here, take it. Oh, my God. Here, you take it. Oh, hallelujah. Take it. Oh, here, you take it. You take it. Here's some more. You take it. Where's this food coming from? I don't know where it's coming from. You take it. You take it. Here's some more for you. Do you want some more? Are you full yet? Here's some more. There's plenty more. Do you want some? Do you want some? Here's more. Take some with you. Take some home with you. Do you want? Are you full yet? Are you sure that you're full? Here's more. Here's more. This for you. When you doubt, God uses your doubt. He puts it right in your face. He puts you right in the middle of it. Of his miracle. The Bible says he used his doubters to feed them. He also wanted them to know, I'm in control. You still got doubts in your mind. Somebody here still got doubts in their mind. You serve the Lord, you praise, you worship him, but you still got some doubts in your mind. And God is still in control, and he's still keeping something on you until you let loose and let him have it. Until you let loose and let him have it. Until you let loose and let him have it. Amen? When it looks impossible, we just got to keep serving the Lord. He will reveal his purposes for us in his time. We hear people say, well, I don't know what the Lord want me to do. So they sit back and don't do nothing. But you got to keep serving the Lord, and he will reveal his purposes in his time. So the faltering was sanctified. The famished, the hungry people, was satisfied. He met every need to feed these people. Jesus took a little bit and turned it into a whole lot. You place your little in the Lord's hand, and he's going to multiply it. And then the faithless, let me tell you about the 12 disciples were the faithless in this story. The faithless were stupefied. They were sanctified, they were satisfied, and they were stupefied in this story. Because when you read the scripture, the Bible says when they took all of the leftovers, how many baskets were there?
When they finished feeding everybody, how many baskets were there?
One for each disciple. Now I done shown you, I made you get involved with it, and now here, each one of you have your own basket of food to take with you. Don't doubt me no more. You got your own basket of food. I took a little that you says cost too much. I took a little that you said there ain't enough. I took a little and I made it a whole lot because I am who I am. When God moves in your situation, look out. It's going to amaze you. And everybody else who sees it is going to be amazed. Their doubts will make it seem ridiculous. Their doubts makes the situation seem ridiculous. But your God that you serve is an overcomer. He takes that little bit and he makes a lot. I was sitting with a couple of pastors this week. And one said that he had a congregant who said, I prayed to the Lord that I don't want to pay rent no more. The pastor looked at him like, you don't want to pay rent no more. He said, yeah, I was praying. My prayer was that I don't want to pay rent no more. But you know what happened? All of a sudden, the landlord of the building said, if you put out the garbage on Mondays and whatever days the garbage is supposed to be picked up, I'm going to take $200 off your rent. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Then the landlord came and said, you know what? When something breaks down in here, if you can go fix the pipe and you can go do this and do that, I'll pay you an extra $150 a month. Somebody say, praise the Lord. The landlord came back and said, you know what? When people leave in and out of this apartment building, he says, I need somebody to go in there and clean it up and make it presentable for the next person. I'll pay you $350. $350 every time you got to do that. Is anybody adding that up? Huh? You got 200 in the beginning. You got 150. That's 350. Now when you have the opportunity to clean the apartment when somebody leaves, that's a $350. That's $700. He only has to pay $200 in rent on them good months. Everybody pays rent, mortgage, or something. Amen? But he didn't want to pay rent no more. But God gave him all that he asked for. But he made him real comfortable. I mean, if I said to the Lord, I want $1 million, and I'm praying for $1 million, and he gave me $800,000, I'm pretty good with that. I don't know about you. I'm not going to be shaking my fist. I said $1 million. I'm going to take that 800 and keep it moving. You have not, because you... I want you to know this morning, because I'm coming down. I want you to know that for those of us who want Jesus to be predictable, I got some good news for you, but I got some bad news for you. The bad news is that Jesus is not predictable. Never has been and never will be. The good news is that he knows what he's doing and he knows what's best all the time. So when you look at things that you face in your life today and you say there's no way, it might just be the season that your circumstance might seem overwhelming, but your resources are adequate. If you trust in the Lord, your resources are adequate. In that moment that you realize Jesus knows already what he's doing in your situation, don't limit the possibilities of what he's going to do. Just imagine. Just have faith in the goodness and the greatness of the God that we serve. Amen? Remember what Jesus has done for you in the past. And trust him that the next thing is going to be a bigger thing. That the next thing is a greater thing. The next thing is beyond all that we could ever think or imagine. Amen? As long as there is a great God who sits on the throne in heaven, there is a way. Can you turn to somebody and say, ain't no way? But there is a way. Jesus is the way. In fact, he says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am. He is the great I am. If you can get it into his hands, that's what I want you to do this morning. Whatever your circumstances are, if you can get it into his hands, because he says he took whatever your circumstances are this morning, let him take it in his hands. Whatever your little bit is this morning, he wants to make a lot out of it. Let him take it in his hands. He'll handle it and make a lot out of your little. He'll handle your circumstance and turn it around. I want to know this morning, what is it that you need for him today? What circumstance are you going through? What obstacle are you looking at and you feel like you can't get through it? Whatever it is, put it in his hands. Whatever it is, it's a little to him. It's a little. He wants to turn things around in your life. Can we stand this morning?